Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist
of lime.
Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I've been smacking pyjamas for so long.
I think the only crime that matters here is corporate pride.
Hold around! 49.99! 43!
And I invented that phrase.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. It has been summer, I would say. We're in summer now. I think it's official. It's begun. So I'm feeling very happy today and incredibly happy that today we are joined by singer-songwriter Grace Petrie.
Yay!
Hello.
How are you doing?
Applause. Applause. I miss it so much. I'm very well, thank you. Yes, I'm very excited to be here. Yeah.
Yay.
I've got my dog on my lap and I've got a beer in my hand and I'm, ready to get cracking.
Oh, we're all in love with the dog already.
Yes, he's been upstaging me for the past 14 months because all of the work that I've done has been online and like all of us, he's got like a sixth sense about it. When I'm on a Zoom call or something, he's like, oh, there's some limelight going on somewhere. I'm going to get in there and steal the fuck out of that. So it's been absolutely dreadful for my very fragile self-esteem throughout lockdown. Cheers.
Cheers to that. So we only have one question on this podcast, and that is, what is your dog's name?
So this is Frank, and he is my geriatric Jack Russell, and he is afraid of literally too many things to name, but an inexhaustive list includes wind, rain, thunder, flies, men, children, laughing, sneezing, coughing, or anybody just inhaling too loudly nearby. So he's a real exciting. He's a real,
real guard dog.
Soothing company to be around. Well, yeah, you'd think so. Yeah, he's not a good guard dog at all. He's like afraid of things that should be happening. Pays no attention whatsoever to things that shouldn't be happening. So just an all round burden and albatross around my neck. So please welcome Frank to the pod.
I feel like there's a great animated series in that, like a really neurotic therapy dog that's terrible at its job, but like wants to be better. I'll work on it. Get back.
Yeah, I think he wants to be better. I mean, the ways that we're really going deep on the Frank details quite early on, but the way that his anxiety manifests most oftentimes is just spectacular incontinence all over the house.
Wow. Same.
Varieties. So, it's not. It's you'd think it was like a comedy anxiety, but it gets old pretty fucking fast.
I mean,
fast,
when it's animated, it will be much funnier.
I'm going to be
you won't have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yes. That's true. Yeah.
A good idea to rebrand incontinence as spectacular incontinence. That's very good.
Honestly, sometimes that's the only word for it. It is on occasion it has been a spectacle.
Wow. Frank.
Yeah.
Well, we'll move on to the second question of the podcast, which is Grace, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, well, I was listening to some previous episodes and I was thinking, I know, I'm sure everybody says this, but I was like, I'll get the serious one out of the way because it doesn't make for good comedic content. But some years ago, I had some homophobic neighbours when I was living in a house in Sheffield with my girlfriend. Yeah, it was a great time. And and there was just like a bit of a sustained kind of campaign of homophobia, which wasn't great fun. No.
Jesus. But
certainly would have been easier to deal with were it not for South Yorkshire Police, who I don't mind disparaging on this and any other podcast, who famously told me once when I reported it, we can come down there and take some names, but don't come to me in 2 weeks if you've had your windows bricked in. That's what a real police officer said to me.
And I was
I'm pretty sure, though, that I would come to you if I had my windows bricked in. I think that's kind of in your job description.
God.
So yeah, so that's like my, I guess that's my biggest crime story.
You had one job. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, for sure.
That's appalling.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that was the big one. But then, and that was many, many years ago. And, you know, it only made me gayer. Do you know what I mean? So 1-0 to me, homophobes, I think. And then, so I'm recording this from Norwich at my girlfriend's place, but I live in Leicester. And I live in quite a characterful part of Leicester. And,
are you being a real estate agent right now?
I certainly am, yeah. That's real estate speak for I've been burgled several times at my house in Leicester.
No.
So I used to have like the most ridiculously impractical car for a musician who tours, like in my own car. Like I had like one of those like soft top Jeeps basically was like the most uneconomical thing in the entire world and literally just like drank petrol down. Very, very bad for the environment. And also like the literal roof, it was just fastened with like buttons.
Nice.
So in my neighborhood, honestly, like it would just get broken into like once every fortnight. I'm sure it's probably the same car thieves who are just like, well, there's this one that we don't even have to do anything. You know, like we may as well unbutton it. You know,
we don't need a brick or anything to smash this one.
Oh, you don't even need a crowbar. You know?
I've got into easier cardigans than this. Like,
absolutely. Yeah. And I've felt more protected by cardigans from the wind than I have. That was broken into so many times. I mean, I think the worst, like the one that really like stung, this is before the pandemic, obviously, and I left like a big box of merch in the back of it, and it was just like 400 copies of my new album. But it's okay because what they did was open it and didn't take a single fucking copy. I was like, whoa. I mean, that is brutal, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what
chasing them, being like, it's actually been quite well reviewed. give it a chance. You know, just take a few. You know, you might flog them. You don't know. I don't know where you guys are selling onto. You know, I don't know.
Do you know what? Yeah. Thank God it's summer, because like I'm wearing a dress and it means that I can slap my thigh, because I was slapping my thigh with laughing, and it's a much more comedic sound in the summer, because in the winter I've been smacking pyjamas for so long, so now it really makes me laugh. That's
not
amazing.
The
they didn't take
that.
I thought
didn't
you
take
were
a single
say
copy.
Like they nicked, you know, sort of like a big box of t-shirts and that anyone at your gig wearing a t-shirt, you're like, it was fucking you, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, actually much sadder than that. Just I mean, I literally now I can factually say at gigs, like, I can't give them away, guys. I literally can't give this shit away. So yeah, that was one of several burglaries at my house. Most recently I did, during the pandemic, I had my shed broken into.
Oh, wow.
And they nicked my power tools. Oh. And I was like, guys, I'm a lesbian disarmed. Do you know what I mean? Like, took my jigsaw and my drill and stuff. And I was like, I had a friend staying with me for the pandemic. And I was like, Ben, what am I going to do? I feel completely, completely unarmed here. So, yes, fortunately, nothing massively crimey has happened to me. Yeah.
Still, that is still a hell of a list of crimes, to be fair.
I suppose it is quite a laundry list, isn't it? Yeah. I don't think I've had it too bad. And then when I talk to you, I'm like, I mean, I get burgled about once a month.
Who doesn't?
Well, we also always ask on this podcast, we ask, like, what would you say to the person now who, so we've got a sort of like a smorgasbord of people to sort of pick from here.
That's
so
true, yeah.
Who would you choose to say something to, and what would it be?
I guess I should pick the homophobes in Sheffield. I think in retrospect, I've sort of kind of clocked. It was quite a lot of it was misogyny as well. Do you know what I mean? Because I was sort of living there with my partner at the time. They were super young, you know, they were kind of like teenage boys, but
That doesn't make it. Really?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Well, I guess I'd like to say to them that this is going to sound very like hippy dippy, but my mum like worked as a social worker and my dad worked as a probation officer. So I apply these sort of like pinko liberal politics to absolutely everything I do. But I'd like to believe that it was sort of a manifestation of like some unhappiness in them. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And I'd like to kind of sit down with them and be like, guys, what was going on there? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Why did like sort of yelling lesbian at two women that you didn't know, like why was that the only bit of power that you felt like you could sort of further in the world? So I guess, I maybe would want to sit down with those guys and be like, let's talk about the human responsibility of sharing this world and like, you know, what we all like mean to each other, trying to kind of move through the world. And to the guys who nicked my power tools, I'd be like, you fucking cunts, have you? So, yes.
I love that's good big picture stuff too. Like, yeah, nothing happens in a vacuum. What's going on? Get it fucking sorted.
For sure. You know, I mean, I think it was like a really funny time because it was like a cul-de-sac. So they were really kind of all these kids that kind of lived. I mean, I say kids, they were sort of like 17, 18. 19. I think it was that thing of just toxic masculinity, like all trying to kind of like dickhead each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My main takeaway from it was that South Yorkshire police are still, you know, I mean, this is 10 years ago, but still it was bad times from them. So when and then they would kind of turn up at Sheffield Pride with their like little stall at Pride and they'd be like, seriously, guys, I mean.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. You didn't get the memo that you actually do shit if you want to come here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And obviously, like it's Pride Month now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like feels worse because everything, I guess, feels worse to some degree because of COVID. It's like all of the corporations and like the fucking government and the Home Office being like, happy Pride. I don't think you can. I think just like tell the PR department to just not do that, I think, because it's definitely worse, isn't it, to have these like.
It's definitely worse.
You know, the naked hypocrisy, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing those crimes and ending on the crime of like corporate pride, essentially. Yes, because
absolutely.
Yeah,
which is indeed a crime. Yes. I think the only crime that matters here is corporate pride.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Well, guys, we're going to go into some true crime now. I hope you're all excited, and I hope you're all excited because it's sports based.
Oh no!
Abort! I'm not free. I can't do it.
Ken has done this to us before, and I just wanted to edit everything I said out. I'm like, wait, football's the one.
We did a football
with
one
the
once.
Oblong ball. No.
Yeah. Oh God!
But I know the word oblong.
Look like stereotypes.
So.
Strap
no,
in, guys.
I'm ready. This is going to be like my one bit of niche sports knowledge.
Do you know what?
I'm ready.
Taylor, it's American, so I'm looking
doesn't
at you.
Doesn't help,
well,
but let's go.
I would have been fine if it was netball.
Netball! Oh, that's a blast from the past, isn't it? Goal defense!
Yeah, and I was boasting. I would have been fine if the question was, what does GD stand for? And I could have said goal defense.
I've got your back. Yeah.
I was a centre, but I sometimes think that the C on my top was because no one liked me, and that's why they gave it to me. Guys, it's 1979. We're at an All-Stars NBA game where teams are warming up, and a player who's 6'4" walks onto the court and takes several shots at the basket.
Okay, I don't want to be a nerd, but this is basketball, right?
Yes, this is basketball.
Just kidding.
As this is happening, a crime is taking place. Straight up, what is the crime taking place at this basketball match?
What's the year again?
1979.
So somebody's doing what on the court?
He walks, basically just throwing baskets. Like, I don't know if you even know that
and
it's
what is a ball?
Guys, welcome to our longest episode ever.
Where are they throwing a ball at a net? We don't know if the crime is occurring in...
Is it in the stadium slash court sports area?
It's happening on the sports area.
It's sports venue.
It is happening on the sports area.
And this is a big game.
This is a big game.
Is it being televised?
It's being televised.
So is the crime caught on camera?
It is.
All stars.
That means that there's lots.
So this is not like a team versus a team. This is like the legends.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there a hostage situation? Ooh. I'm going to go with hostage.
We've got hostage from Taylor.
Why are you
going
laughing,
in hard,
Katie?
Going in high and hard. Yeah, absolutely. Is it drugs?
Okay, drugs. Okay.
Okay.
The guy that's 6'4" started life at 5'8". Would you mean for like performance enhancing drugs, you mean?
Let's say that's what I mean.
if it's correct, seems to be warm. Then yes.
Katie.
I'm going to go with somebody honked somebody's boobs on the jumbo camera thing and it was caught on camera.
Okay.
And in 1979, they were really against sexual harassment. So I think everyone was really upset about it.
Yeah, thanks. We've really gotten worse, haven't we? Those halcyon days in 1979.
It was all good then.
Absolutely.
Guys, these are great guesses. I really love where you're going with them. What it was is the guy on the court wasn't a basketball player at all. It was Barry Bremen, known in the sports world as the Great Imposter.
No way.
Have you ever heard of him, Taylor?
No way, I haven't.
Okay. So he'd stolen a player's warm-up kit from the benches, put it on, and then just started doing layups, which is a basketball term, guys. No, put it on.
Okay.
So what do you think?
And everybody was just like, he must be from the... Miami Wotsits? Like they didn't.
Yeah, why is
they just didn't question?
Who are you? Where are you from? Why hasn't coach introduced us?
Well, this is the thing. I guess because it was an All-Stars game as well, is there was loads of different players from loads of different teams. Also, he was found out almost immediately, to be honest with you. Like he shot a few baskets. But so this was the first time he did this. He is a prolific, he's the great imposter. What do you think made him do that on that day? He was there with his family, just watching the game, and then suddenly he thought, I know what I'll do. What made him do that?
Somebody dared him?
Somebody dared him. We've got a dare.
Truth or dare? Is he already known as the imposter by this stage?
No, this is his first one.
This apparently. Is his first impostering.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that invalidates what I was going to say. I'd invented a whole backstory where it's like, he's wanted for other frauds. And it turns out the people who want him are at the game. And he's like, I'll disguise myself as a basketball player. But yeah, anyway, that's the movie.
Oh, that would be good. Oh, my God. You give me an idea. Can I change my answer?
Yeah, please do.
He was going to subpoena somebody.
Oh,
so he
nice.
Had to pretend to be a basketball player to subpoena them.
That's nice.
So good. You have to like touch them with the envelope or something. Don't
they have to say their name, but the other players wouldn't suspect a fellow player of being the person trying to subpoena them.
And they've got their name on their back, so you know it's there. Taylor, what have we got?
As soon as you said he was with his family, I pictured two like disgruntled teenage kids that are like, I wish you were as cool as these players, Dad. Yeah, you're a total loser. You've never done anything. And he's like, really? And he just broke. And then the rest of his life, he tried to prove himself as an amazing dad.
Wow. I mean, his kids are so sweet. I've watched a documentary about him and they really love him. And he's like this, like, he's actually like, it seems quite a sweet guy. But Katie, you were right first time. It was a bet. It was a $20 bet. Wow.
$20 bet?
Who bet him?
It was just one of his friends that was there with the family. Wow. And they said, I bet $20 you can't go on court and start.
So he made a smooth 20. And did that? Could he afford bail with the money that he made?
Well, and can we talk about the good old days of low security? Like, I'll give you $20. Done. Worth it.
So like I said, Barry Bremen was essentially just a normal bloke. He's from Detroit. He has a wife, three kids, was good at sports at school, but never went professional. Instead, he did something else. He has a different job. He was selling something. What do you think the great sports imposter sold for
cars?
Job? Very confident from Taylor with cars.
Sometimes I just like a knee jerk.
Insurance.
Okay.
Was sports a clue in there?
Oh, that's a good guess.
You said, what's a sportsman going to be selling? Yeah, what's a sports guy going to be selling?
Running shoes or something.
Well, he was a toys and novelty goods salesman.
Ooh.
So, okay. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what novelty goods meant.
I'm just getting like in my head like a proper like old school con man with like a flower that shoots water at you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you should have seen it coming. Do you know what I mean? He was always, oh yeah, Brennan, he's always going to turn out to be the great imposter.
Yeah, but this didn't fulfill him. He wasn't fulfilled selling novelty goods. So from the period of 1979 till 1986, Barry posed as a Major League Baseball umpire in the World Series, which even if you don't know sports, you must know that that is a pretty big fucking deal. Because I didn't know sports and then I watched a video of it and I was like, oh, there's a lot of people there.
It's great though, because you cannot see their faces, obviously, because they've got the protective cage helmets and you can't really tell what their voice is like because they're just like, like they don't make any sense.
In fact,
like,
I think that's why that was like a plot device in one of the Naked Guns, wasn't it?
The Naked Gun comes up quite a lot with this case.
Oh, God, okay.
No. I just mean in terms of, like, when I was reading articles about it, people were referring to, like, Frank Drevin, who would... You know, he pretended to be an umpire and he pretended to be a singer, didn't he? At one point, he had to sing the national anthem and couldn't remember it. I feel like that was the Naked Gun.
I'm afraid to say that I haven't seen Naked Gun because then you'll get really mad at me a la Die Hard and it'll turn into a whole thing.
Wow. I mean... That's crazy.
I've seen one of them. I don't know which one it was.
Well, treat yourself.
Agreed. So he posed as a player in a Major League Baseball All-Stars game.
Oh my fucking God.
He posed as a referee in an NFL game. So like that's National Football League. That's like American football proper, huge games, and a professional golfer.
Does he get away with any of these or does he get caught each time?
He does get caught each time. Yeah. To be fair, yeah.
Barry.
It's all over pretty soon. As soon as he walks out, like, people are like, who the fuck are you?
I feel like you could do all of those until golfing because you can't fake golf. Like, even golfers suck at golf. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard. But all the other ones are just sort of like, put it on, 49-99, 43. You know what I mean? Like, you can get away with that for a little while.
So we're at this.
Some of it was a player, right? It was a player a few times.
Yeah.
So their faces were, his face was surely on display, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so at the All-Stars baseball game, he was dressed as one of the New York Yankees. He shagged flies in the outfield. which apparently
shagged flies.
Apparently, what the shagging a fly
not
is
not as it sounds, yeah. Kids.
Oh, dear.
Usually you have the sexy sound in words and all, but sometimes we do too.
I mean, sexy is a stretch. He what? What is this?
It just means you like he catches fly balls like whilst they're warming up. So he's quite far out in the field, and he's
so
just
that's
sort of
a term.
It's a term that I had to include because it made me laugh. Because yes. Yeah. Shagging flies. So this one lasted half an hour. So he was out there shagging flies for half an hour. And there's a video, man, it's so funny. And the video.
That's not what the flies said.
Yeah. There's this one bit where, like, obviously this other baseball player has noticed that he's not. He's like, who the fuck are you? Get the fuck off. Get the, what the fuck do you think you're playing at?
Wow.
It's sort of super funny because he's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry.
I seem to be at the wrong game.
So,
novelty ball.
So basically,
this is a sport, though. Can I just quip about this? Because this seemed totally normal, and the only bandit I want to say like 10 or 15 years ago, which is way too recent. Baseball was a sport where you could consume tobacco products while you were playing, like. Half of all baseball players used to use like spitting tobacco dip,
yeah.
Basically. Wow. And that was just totally normal. You'd like see them in the outfield, like enjoying while they're sporting.
It's so mad, isn't it?
I'm just saying, it's very leisurely in the outfield.
I can corroborate that from my research of watching The Simpsons.
When you were talking about the All-Star Game, all I have in my head is that episode of The Simpsons where Mr. Burns gets in all the ringers for the
yes!
for the nuclear power plant team.
Oh my God!
As soon as you said it, my brain was like a Rolodex, like sport. What do you know about sport? And I was like, I really think this is my only reference for any of this. This is
my full
reference to draw on. The whole library is just that one episode.
I literally just watched the episode earlier today with my kids.
No way.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's so wonderful after all these years.
It is great. It really stands up. 92, yeah. Guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's the whole time I was like, I wonder if I'll be able to bring up Daryl Strawberry.
Strawberry.
Like, I wonder if that's going to be any good here.
Oh my God. Yeah. Daryl. Yeah. Daryl. The little tear.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love it because, like, when I first said sports, I thought, oh no. But now I'm like, this is great. We know everything we need to know about sports.
The Simpsons is basically a modern encyclopedia.
Oh, absolutely. Before there was Wikipedia, there was The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Hannah, is he getting arrested all along the way or just sort of?
Yes, he is. So there's various different levels of stuff that happens to him. He does get arrested, he gets fined quite a lot. Taken out of the stadiums. When you watch the video, sometimes they're like, oh, okay, it's all a bit of a laugh. Other times, literally, they are manhandling him.
Is he getting a bit of a beating?
He's not getting sort of beaten up, but he's certainly getting stopped. But like the thing is, I find him quite funny because like the guy that wouldn't stop swearing at him at that game, at the baseball game, he went off the court and then, it's not a court in baseball, I realise, but he was hiding out in the clubhouse in the Whirlpool bath. That's where he went next.
Nice.
And so in golf, he snuck into the 1980 US Open.
And
he actually got to play a practice round. He managed to play an actual round. So how do you think he was found out at the US Open?
Not wearing golf shoes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wrong shoes.
Yeah, he wasn't pretentious enough.
Yeah.
Roger, I mean, Taylor, you kind of nailed it earlier.
That he's just terrible.
Exactly. People questioned how such a bad golfer could have made it through qualifying.
He did like 27 strokes.
Wow. That's a bit of a, that's kind of a burn on all the other sports, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
The others, he could just phone it in and they're like, oh yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, this one counts.
So like we said, like, you know, he got yelled at quite a lot. He got manhandled from venues. He had to pay the fines, got arrested once. But how do you think he kept himself out of jail in the fact that he could have been arrested all those times? But there was something about Barry that made people not put him in jail. And he was white. That, I imagine, helped. Yeah. But like, apart from white privilege.
I was just
going
to say white male.
Yeah, the answer.
Something about him.
Was it that squirty flower? Just adorable.
He had novelty smoke.
Was he impersonating other people did he impersonate police officers to evade the police?
Ooh. Oh, nice. Nice guess.
Yeah.
Taylor?
I mean, this isn't a proper guy. I was just going to say he's really, really charismatic. So he's just able to talk his way out. Because if he can talk his way into all these events.
Yeah.
If like he can talk his way into shagging flies. Those guys don't give it up for anyone, you know?
He could talk the flies off a shag.
I mean, Taylor, you're kind of spot on. According to the author, Jeremy Schapp, Barry's ability to keep himself out of jail was his infectious, childlike exuberance.
He was adorable.
Yeah, Katie, you're also right. Ultimately, ironically, the great imposter was the most genuine of men, is what Jeremy Schapp, this sports writer, said. His wife, Margot, in a 1980 People magazine profile, said that he was fulfilling a grand fantasy to be in the limelight. He feels if you have no guts, you have no glory in your life. His advice to other imposters was, don't do it. It's against the law. Stay away. This is my act. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Mate, go to Edinburgh. What are you doing?
I mean, he would have got an Edinburgh show out of all of this, I think. So as well as all the pranks that I've mentioned, Bremen also posed as something else in the sports world, which was a bit more audacious. It wasn't a player. It wasn't a referee. It was the one he got arrested for. What do you think it was?
Ooh. I hope it wasn't like a sports physician.
Yeah, to give it
like
massages.
Cracking bones into place and stuff.
Did you say it wasn't a coach, Hannah?
Not a coach.
Right.
I think this is the one he got arrested for. Mm. So this is the one that's a bit more like there's more of a crime to it. Like, yeah. Would you say?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I'm going to say something to do with money and like betting on... do you know what I don't know what the word is, like, do you know what I mean? Like a bookie, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And I only said bookie confidently because I've seen Trading Places and I watch it every Christmas. So, you know, we're all drawing from our little pools of knowledge.
It's a small world after all.
I'll give you a clue. In this one, he dresses as a woman.
Oh.
And he doesn't get arrested because he does anything bad to anyone. He does exactly what he's done in the other, but, you know, it's not a bad
crime. Oh, so he just tried to join a women's team.
Okay, women's team? Any advance on women's team?
I guess.
Team?
And does he does he win? But that makes me such a bad feminist. That's like the worst thing ever. It's the most fucking patriarchal thing I've ever seen. Oh, he invades the women's team and wins, does he? Ah, no, I take it back. I'm sorry. Horrible.
Katie, have you got anything as appalling to say?
So he's dressed as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that he hasn't been before. So it's not a coach. It's not a player.
Yeah.
And he gets arrested. Like a flasher. Women used to come running on the pitches and show their boobs and stuff. But if he's not got boobs, how appalling have I out appalled?
No, I just love that your head went there. What role have women played in sport? We got flashing. I'm gonna leave the flashing.
I didn't think you'd get there, but you did out of Paul. Yeah, you've really got Grace's back here. This is great.
You can count on me.
I really appreciate it.
Guys, you're gonna
cheerleader,
kick
a cheerleader.
It's a cheerleader. Yes. Oh.
Wait, yes. This is a cheerleader.
Yeah, nice. For the Dallas Cowboys.
I was gonna say, oh my God, was he a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader? Because they're the best. That's fucking crazy.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah. So what do you think, guys, he did to prepare for this role?
Stretched.
Stretched.
I mean, now I'm going to draw on my knowledge of Miss Congeniality. So I guess he ate some celery.
Okay. Well, do you know what? Actually, you're right, because he lost 23 pounds for the role.
Wow.
Wow.
Whoa. Uh-huh.
Any advance on that?
Very method.
God, it's all depressing, isn't it, for the women in the Cons went all these male roles, and for the women's one, it was like, no, starve yourself, though. Starve yourself to be a woman. Yeah. Absolutely fucking hell.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Wow.
He, any more thoughts?
I guess probably like removed a lot of hair from his body.
Yes.
He would have got a wax.
He did. He shaved his legs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he would have had to study, like, did he take a dance class or?
He did. He practiced cheer routines with his wife.
Okay, that counts.
Wow.
Was she not arrested for, like, being an accessory?
Yeah, she's enabling him, isn't she?
She's fully in on that crime.
Yeah.
I just.
Margot, what are you up to? My God.
Yeah, Margot.
The other thing is he had a replica Dallas Cowboys cheerleader uniform custom made, and he bankrolled the project, and it cost him $1,200 of his own money. He just spent it. So during the game, Brennan burst onto the sidelines in boots, hot pants and a blonde wig. He only got out one cheer. What do you think he cheered?
Go
Brennan,
Cowboys.
Brennan. Barry.
Go the sports team.
The imposter. What did he cheer?
I mean, those
I did it again.
I'm really
You'll
hungry.
Never catch me.
Do you know what? He just shouted, "Go Dallas!" Before the Cowboy security had him handcuffed. Now, if you can look this up on YouTube, it is just really funny because he gets out there, he runs, he literally shouts, "Go Dallas!" and then these blokes just like they just run into him and stop him, and it's just, I mean, it's pretty funny.
You're shitting on a holy institution.
Yeah.
So basically, this was his
now
first...
this is ringing a bell because that sounds slightly familiar.
And what year was this? 89?
Actually, I'm not sure quite when the Dallas Cowboys one was, but it's kind of, it's sort of
in
80s.
The 80s.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the Cowboys took out a $5,000 lawsuit for trespassing and creating a nuisance and petitioned to have him banned from the Cowboy games for life.
Right.
But Brennan's star was rising. Like, he became this fucking celebrity during the 80s.
Right.
So they dropped the lawsuits and he was asked on several TV shows. What TV shows do you think he went on? This is basically, what's your knowledge of 1980s TV shows in America?
Definitely Ricky Lake.
Okay.
Ricky Lake on there?
We've got Ricky Lake. She's not there. She's not there, I'm afraid.
Springer? Got to be Springer.
He's not on Springer.
He was until 90s, I think. Phil Donahue.
It was
Good Morning America.
Was it Oprah?
No. Ooh, oh, good knowledge.
Was it
guys.
Regis and Kathy Lee?
No, but very good. Very good knowledge. So who was like the big talk show guy in like the 80s and then had a show until 10 years ago?
Larry King?
No.
Montel?
No.
Letterman? David Letterman?
Letterman.
He
was on Late Night with David Letterman, The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson was still going. Okay.
And he was Sportsman of the Week twice on the Today Show. he was on the front of Newsweek, Life and Time magazines. But he said
he's on the front of Time magazine.
He was on the front of
Jesus
Time magazine.
Christ,
I know.
That's a fucking slow
that's
Newsweek, isn't it?
A lot. Yeah.
They couldn't have anybody else on the front cover of Time. Oh my
what,
God.
What news were they trying to bury while this was going on?
I mean, it's a very good question. But apparently his favourite thing to come from all of this was the fact that he
was
became
the
a question.
Fame. Sorry, I interrupted you. I'm just burning on him.
No, sorry, I mean...
I apologise. Female wear, please.
He became a question on something. Jeopardy, yes.
Hey. Oh, good job.
And the question on Jeopardy was to do with the one thing that he did that wasn't sports. So he went into another industry to be an imposter. What industry do you think that was? What do you think? What was the big impost?
Oh, I hope it was like a production of Les Mis or something.
Okay.
Yeah, he's attracted to crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say music,
Okay, music.
Is it music? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but he's got maybe a backup dancer. Because he's got the moves now.
Yeah, exactly. Great guesses. The industry was Hollywood. It was the 1985 Emmy Awards.
Mm.
So he bought a ticket for $300, rented a tuxedo, and went up on stage and accepted an award. What award do you think he accepted?
Best actor.
Best actor, yeah.
But if he's not the person who's supposed to be, like, was there an award for him? Or, like, is he nicking an award and everyone's going to go, you're not that guy?
Yeah, this is another imposter thing.
So he's pretending to be a specific actor.
Well, he's not. Basically, what it was is he accepted the award for Best Supporting Actress, which was supposed to go to Betty Thomas, who played Officer Lucille Bates on the police drama Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues!
Do you know Hill Street Blues?
I just remember my parents kicking me out of the room so they could watch it and I would hear that song. So that's the sound of my loneliness. I'm joking.
So he said that this was the only prank he regretted. Why do you think he regretted it? What do you think happened?
They tasered him.
Okay. We're going straight into tasered.
Was it the end? Did she never act again or something? Did she never got a chance to get another award? Okay. I was going to say, did she die? That seems a bit dark. Not as a result. I just mean, was it her last chance?
Okay. Yeah, he's ruined her big chance and she cried.
Okay, she cried. Okay, Taylor?
Died.
Detail I missed. Was she actually at the awards and she didn't get a chance to go up because he jumped up first?
Well, do you know what, Taylor? Yeah, yes, you know you're Americans because what happened was he thought she wasn't there to accept the award. And that was his, like, I'm going to go up and get that award because it's just going to be, like, there's going to be no one there to collect it and everyone will just applaud. It won't really be hurting.
They have thought of this normally, so yeah.
It turned out she was there. And as she was walking up to stage, he was, like, just in front of her and then he accepted the award and actually it wasn't a great time.
No, it's not a good...
It's a bit of a Kanye Taylor Swift sort of situation.
Okay, yes, yes. Thank you for making this relatable because, you're right. So
it just looks cruel.
Yeah, a little bit. So he apologised to her and he was fined. How much do you think was the going rate for almost stealing an Emmy in 1985?
Ooh.
I'm so confused by, like, he's being fined by the police, I suppose. What's the crime?
Yeah,
is it just, like, fraud?
I guess it's, like, being an imposter, yeah.
Because there's no monetary prize or is there? I guess you get money, don't you, for winning an Emmy?
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to steal the money.
Yeah.
It was like with, at the Dallas Cowboys, he was charged with trespassing and creating a nuisance.
Oh, I see. I guess that's the...
But you're creating a nuisance.
Mm. I'm going to go $5,000 for the Emmys.
$5,000, nice.
Yeah.
Any advance?
I was going to say $8,000.
I'm going to go $1,000.
$1,000. Katie is closest. It was $175.
Bloody hell. Why doesn't everyone do it?
I love it. I want an Emmy.
Yeah, he's just incentivized the generation of... what's the word? Pretenders. I've lost my mind.
Imposters.
Imposters. Thank you.
I wonder if it would have been a bigger fine if it had been like best actor in a series. Like, no. Too far.
17%.
Yeah. Justice for Lucille, man. Is that her name?
Yes, you're very
very sharp.
Do you know what? It was Betty
very
Thomas,
good.
But Lucille was the officer.
I've been paying a lot of attention because I literally had a nightmare last night that I couldn't get any of the answers. So I had like a dream about this that I was just like really crap at cracking the case. So you've got me on my. This is the sharpest I'll ever get. I'm going to fall asleep right after this.
Yeah, but I think you're right though, because if he'd done that to Roger Moore, would the fine be higher?
Interesting. Yeah, it's a good question. Because with things like that, when there's a crime that's like, no one's committed that since, no one's going to commit it again. Like, how do you decide how much, you know, what the fine will be? And as like Katie said, I remember on another episode, it's just like fines just mean legal for rich people in the sense that, you know.
And I invented that phrase.
You were the first person to say on this podcast, so credit where credit's due. Basically, he stopped pranking in about 1986. But in an interview 20 years later, he was asked if he'd come back and do it again. And he said no. Why do you think he had a change of heart? And I'll give you a clue. It's sort of to do with the world. The world's changed as well.
Is security. It the internet?
The internet?
He thought he'd get spotted. Like, he thought he'd get found out too soon.
Okay, interesting that he'd be more recognisable because of the internet.
So, yeah, social media and stuff, I suppose.
So wait, so his last one was 86?
86. So this and would be like 2006?
Oh, 2006, they asked
post 9/11 security. I just think everything's totally different.
Oh yeah, that's I changed my answer to that.
Day the world changed.
Yeah, it's 9/11. 9/11 happened. He said that security had been pretty lax before that, but now it just wouldn't be as easy or as sort of forgiven as well. He kind of thought. Yeah,
and this is the real tragedy of 9/11.
Yeah. Oh my god.
We don't talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when people say never forget, they mean never forget Barry Bremen, you know, what the world
never
lost.
Forget Bremen.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, wow.
I mean, before we wrap up, because that's pretty much the story of Barry Bremen, I wanted to ask each of you, like, if you were going to be an imposter somewhere, what would you do? Even if you knew you wouldn't get caught, you're not going to go to jail or anything, but you're like, I could be an imposter and I could be on stage with... insert cool band here. I'm like, we've got a real musician on. I can't say Little Mix. But like...
Abby? Well.
But you know...
Katie, I didn't know you were in a band.
But what would you do? What would be the thing that you'd be like, oh, I'd like to impost that?
And I can't say my actual life because I have imposter syndrome.
I love that if we just left it there as all going like, just the industry that we make a living in.
That's very much how I feel, yeah. The first thing I thought of was how a few years ago I was asked to do the Now show. And you like write a song for it, like about that week's news.
Oh,
and
wow.
It is hands down the most stressful job that I've ever done. Again, like in the week leading up to it, I would have this stress dream like over and over again in the month preceding it, where I was like, I'd be there in the radio theatre and I hadn't written the song. And I was hoping that something was just going to like come to me on the spot. And it never did. So yeah, that's like what I think of when I think of imposters. I'm like, probably I'd imposter like a singer on the BBC being paid to do a job that they definitely should be capable of doing. I wish I could dance. I can't dance at all. And I think I've always really wanted to be in a musical. So I think I'd love if I was in like a really sort of proper high level, like Broadway musical or something. But nice. I guess what my fancy there is that I just know how to do it all. The music starts and I'm like, oh, suddenly I know all the steps.
Yeah.
So to be fair, like I've slagged off Bremen a lot, but in real life, it must be well stressful, right? To be up there and be like, I've got to be like pretending I can do all this shit, you know.
He gets off on the thing is as well, this question is really, what famous person do you want to watch you bundle to the ground by a load of police? Because it's not like you get to go, hello, isn't the wine exquisite here? I have a chat. They're like literally watching you be like arrested like a criminal because you've been a massive dickhead. So
that is true.
But then you end up on the cover of Time. Do you know what I mean? Oh, so swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, question all on right. Jeopardy. Yes, please.
I'm surprised what popped into my head the minute you asked the question. I would like to pretend I'm an aristocrat and just spy on the royals behind closed doors.
See what they're actually doing. Get some
intel. And I can't believe I give a shit about that, but like to really see what they're like, what they say, how they behave.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I'd put on a well-fitted dress for that. Sure.
I love it. I love it.
I might even wear high heels.
I might even wear heels if that's what you do.
Katie, any advance on your own life?
Well, that... I mean, who do I want to see me bundled to the ground as I try and stand near them? Because the thing is, it's got to be someone with a sense of humour. I wouldn't want it to be somebody that would be like scared, like, oh God, was I about to be attacked? I like want it to be someone be like, oh, bloody hell, Katie and her pranks. So that everyone's having a nice time. So who would...
That's the thing. I guess the royal family, you would probably be shot, wouldn't you? And you'd never... no one would ever fucking hear from you again. They'd just disappear you. Do you know what I mean?
They control their... Well, they don't... Yeah. They sort of control their own narrative.
See, I guess I think so much of my own abilities, I'm like, getting caught.
Do you know what I'd love as well? Like, and I've literally only just thought of this. I didn't sort of write the question so I could say what I wanted, but like, definitely I'd love to sort of take my parents' stupid big dog on Crofts and like be in the final of Crofts tearaway dog.
Funny. Yes.
And then I'd go viral like that. You know, that dog that just did what it fucking wanted. And I just loved the whole energy of that thing. And also the trainer was just so cool, just going like, do you know what? He's being him and that's cute. So I think Crofts with an untrained dog for me. Is that Katie? Well,
I mean, I have really one if you ever...
me and Frank.
Frank's available for any appearances, any media work.
And at least it'll be outside so you can just hose down the diarrhea.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I'm always saying
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ. Incontinent spectacular at Crofts. You can see the headlines.
Actually, yeah.
Katie, do you have anything to add or are we going to end it on you can always hose yourself down?
Do you know what? I'm going to take a cue from you and I'm going to be a gymnast, but just kind of doing a bit of jumping. And then possibly wee myself because of my pelvic floor. Jumping is too much.
Well, oh my God, that would be so amazing. And next up, we're not sure, but oh, she's jumping.
False alarm.
And she's wet.
Now it's real.
Well, guys, thank you for that. And here's
and
to...
we're still ending with hosing ourselves down.
Here's to Barry Bremen, guys. Cheers. Hey.
Cheers, Barry.
And to Margot, you know, who I think
and Margot
did a lot of work.
His trusty accomplice.
Never ended up on the cover of Time. Justice for Margot.
Very
for
true.
All we know, she was the instigator.
Absolutely, yeah. The brains of that operation.
You need a fucking hobby. I'll teach you to dance. Get out of my house now.
Drunk women solving crime.
Guys, we've got just enough time for a listener crime. This is from Kay Yates, and this is on Apple Podcast Review. So, guys, if you want to leave us a review, 5 stars,
yes,
sure.
Yes, please leave us a review and tell us your crimes. We're so good at solving them.
Oh, mate, we're going to solve the shit out of this. Kay Yates says, drunk women, please help me. I'm a high school teacher in Florida, and we've been victims of a crime. I hope you can help solve it. Last month was Teacher Appreciation Week, and our Student Government Association put air fresheners, toilet paper, and hand soap in all the staff toilets.
Do they not normally have that?
I mean...
Don't like what that implies.
Mm. Oh, welcome to state funding.
Do you know what? She's a step ahead of us. She's put, we do get toilet paper and soap in our toilets already, but this was nice toilet paper, nice soap.
Wow.
And it's a thing they do every year. They came by on Friday to drop it off, but on Monday morning, the soap, the toilet paper had been taken from both of the toilets on our floor.
No.
At first, I didn't say anything.
So it was all for show or someone had stolen it?
It's a theft. Yeah. At first, I didn't say anything, but my colleagues noticed too. No one has fessed up or knows what happens. I hope you can help. The items were taken sometime after school got out on Friday and before school opened on Monday. They were removed from locked toilets, so only staff, teachers, custodians, security, and admin could have accessed the area. We do have cameras, but I believe they're used to solve other types of crime. My suspects are someone on staff ran out of soap and toilet paper at home. Rivals from another floor who were hoarding toilet paper and soap for their own toilets, hashtag very 2020, or maybe someone didn't want us to feel too appreciated. We're stumped and I hope you can help us. Love your show.
Well, so I've got to go. Those are all great suspects. My first instinct was it's a staff member who is, I bet their toilet paper runs out and I bet you always kind of got to make sure you got like a roll in your bag just in case. You've always got to make sure you've got tissues. And I reckon somebody is sick of having to bring in their own toilet roll. And they're like, right, I'm taking mine back now. This is like that famous bit in Friends when Joey goes to the buffet. This is how I make my money back. Somebody's gone, right, here we go. Mm. I'm getting what's mine. I've paid into this, bringing my own toilet roll. And now I'm taking it back.
Okay. Mm. Good Friends
is
reference.
There?
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Female workplace. Place.
Is there a custodian appreciation week?
Ooh, rivalry.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, nice.
You've just blown this case wide open.
I'm gonna just posit another theory altogether.
Please.
Okay.
Which is, so immediately what I thought of was that in my school, there was a lot of intra-departmental beef.
Okay.
So, you know, is the, what subject does this
teach? Do you know what? She didn't say. She didn't give me a subject.
Okay. So I'm going to say look to the other departments, because I remember in my school, there was a whole thing where one of the geography teachers was having an affair with one of the drama teachers. And then I learned all this in year 8 in the playground, and I imagine it's gospel truth. and then the affair ended and on like acrimonious terms, and all of the English teachers stopped talking to all of the humanities teachers in like solidarity and protest. And we were all kind of watching it. And like, as I say, I'm sure in reality, it was probably more to do with like budgets or timetables or something. We were like, it's definitely because of that affair. So I think, yeah, intra-departmental politics played out via the medium of toilet paper.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
So I've got a lot of time for that, actually.
Custodians, because of solid. Appreciation Week, we've got interdepartmental rivalries and jealousies. These both really check out. Katie, do you want to try and do any better than either of those?
It does feel like, rather than my disgruntled staff member, it does feel more like it could be a collated attack, like either the custodians being like, how dare they get their own day and we get nothing. Or it could be, the politics of, we have to do that club on a Saturday morning at 9 a.m, do we? Well, we'll see about who gets the toilet paper. They're both excellent. I think
you're right. Like, look to weekend activities at the school, because it had to happen on a weekend.
Oh, actually, if there was like soccer club or...
This has chess club written all over it. Who else knows how to play a long game?
But you're completely right, though, because it is a long game in the sense that they must have been there for over a year, because they must have known that this would happen every year.
Ooh.
So they were poised.
So it's someone that's been there over a year. We need means, motive, opportunity.
Well, the motive is you want to be able to wipe your ass and smell
on
nice.
Fancy paper.
Yeah. You want to be able to wash that COVID off your hands.
Fair enough, really. As motives go, you know.
So I like it. I mean, Kay Yates, I hope this has helped. That was the name on the podcast review, because it didn't give me a first word. It just went Kay Yates. And I'm like, in terms of like a teacher, you just know their surname. So I hope we haven't exposed you to the world, Miss Yates. But basically, who do you hate the most in terms of other departments?
Go with your gut on this one.
Go with your gut and seek revenge. Thank you very much, Miss Yates. I mean, I think that's another crime solved.
Oh, yeah. And then some.
So we do good work, guys. We do good work.
Yeah.
Grace, we only have one last question. Like, where can people find you? Tell us about yourself. What are you up to?
Well, people can find me in my house. I'm still not allowed out. No, I'm starting to be allowed out. I'm on social media and just under Grace Petrie on all things. I actually have an album that I've just finished recording.
Awesome.
Which, thank you. It is awesome that it's over. it nearly fucking killed me. But that is going to be out at the end of the summer, early autumn. And I am going on tour. Every single one of my extremities crossed, I'm going on tour. I've been saying I'm going on tour when this is all over. I've been saying that periodically every 3 months, like we all have for the past 2 years. But I have like a massive tour.
Okay, so will that be autumn
in
as
the latter half of this year, which is like, that's autumn as well. And that's like loads of gigs from all over the place that have all been rescheduled into this year. So it's like really, really, really long. So the chances are I am playing near you many times wherever you are.
What is your album called?
It's called, this is a premiere, actually, me giving this information. It's called Connectivity. It's about, a kind of various kind of reflections on the ways in which we share the world and trying to be connected to each other in a time of obviously enforced separation. Yeah. I think it's going to be good. Yeah, I hate recording, and I would normally gig songs over and over again and kind of workshop them before I record. Yeah. So this is a very, very, very new experience for me to be sending stuff out into the world that's largely untested. So, which I suppose is a roundabout way of saying I can't can't vouch for the quality. but hopefully it sounds
awesome.
More of the same.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's going to be sort of July, August, September-ish 2021 for the album.
September for the album.
And then on tour from
September through to December, yeah.
Really amazing.
Sure. I love it. I love like how that just sounds so busy. I love that we're leaving the house now and being busy.
Yeah,
there's events happening.
This exciting. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, it is. It is. It's like, I mean, I feel like I need to fucking learn how to play the guitar again. And like, I think like all of us, I'm kind of have this thing that mildly concerned that the first time I'm in front of an audience again, I'm just going to like burst into tears. But I think they're probably going to burst into tears as well. Because we've all been so starved, haven't we?
Of course.
Yeah.
Catharsis.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm definitely banking on that. Like, we're all weird now, right?
Yeah,
we're all awkward and scared.
Really. Well, I guess all that remains to say is thank you for joining us, Gay Spring Drink.
Thank you.
Woo woo.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.